a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad that you could be with us tonight. Thank you for making Cradle My Heart part of your weekend. I know that there are one or two football events probably dominating some conversations tonight, but I'm glad that you've decided to tune in and join ours here at Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola, and I had an interesting week out in Arizona caring for a family member who has recently been diagnosed with cancer, just starting on the treatment journey, and was out there unexpectedly for a week to help out with that. And you know, some very interesting conversations and very interesting boots on the ground statements of faith as I talked with this individual, because, you know, when you show up and the crisis is on, you can't just hand somebody a Bible. You can't just throw Bible verses at them. Although, if you have nothing to say, and if you have nothing to give, then do that, right? I'm not saying don't do that, but some sensitivity and some discernment is needed, and I was just so grateful. I was just so grateful to be able to share from the heart. I didn't have any answers to share. I've never experienced cancer myself. I mean, if you've gone through that journey with a family member, I have done that with my brother last year. He's recovering, you know. But it's real. It's a real test of what we know, and being able to impart a word that would be helpful and healing. It's such a lovely thing, and the verses that God drew me to, I think, may help you tonight if you're experiencing something that has left you feeling depleted, defeated, in need of healing. From Psalm 117, it says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And then when you look at Psalm 118, which comes right afterwards, there the verse that that psalm yields the verse that we so many of us know and maybe say to begin the day, you know, that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. But that psalm is a song that also says, in my anguish, Psalm 118, verse 5, in my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. And, you know, this is it's a song about military victory. It's a song about refuge from somebody pursuing you, but victory over cancer and the idea of a disease stalking you, I think, makes it really vivid, makes it something that applies to the battle that we engage in when we seek to regain our health in the face of cancer. And one thing I just want to share with you tonight, too, is I was really excited to be able to share with this family member that, are you aware of some of the free Kindle books? Because you can read them on your computer whether or not you have a Kindle device. And the ESV version from Crossway of the Holy Bible with cross references is free this week on Kindle. And that is a really beautifully designed Bible to use electronically. So just go to Amazon after the show's over and look for the free Kindle edition of the Holy Bible English Standard Version with cross references. This is something that definitely helps in your arsenal, whatever the challenge is of your loved ones, your family, your friends who look to you as a believer to help them in faith, to help with their hope. Tonight's show is something that I know could not have happened without God's help, because I met our guest at a conference when I was there as a speaker, and she was there attending and also developing her own ministry as a speaker. And the more that we talked, we learned that our stories were similar in so many ways. First of all, because for the past 23 years, Kimberly, we share a first name, Kimberly Nyborg, has worked at Northern Minnesota's KBHW Christian radio station. She serves as host of a daily program for Psalm FM radio since 2004, and she also is a writer. She's began blogging back in 2007. She made front page with her story for Living Stones News, and she was asked to become a columnist for the paper, so she's been involved in women's ministry in her church and has spoken for various events around the Midwest since 2009. And in the past 2 years, she's also been a featured speaker for Stonecroft Women's Ministries. We'll learn more about that as we get acquainted tonight with Kimberly Dawn Nyborg, who lives in the icebox of the nation, International Falls, Minnesota. Kimberly, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Grateful to be here.
How cold is it tonight in International Falls, I have to ask?
The temperature is dropping. When I woke up this morning, it was actually 25, and I think we're down to 7 right now.
Above zero, though.
Yep, right now.
I think
we're supposed to get, it's not supposed to get too terribly cold tonight or tomorrow morning, but look out for Tuesday morning. I think we're supposed to see around 13 below.
Kimberly, where did you grow up?
Well, my first 10 years, being born in Hartford, Connecticut, as a baby, moving to Columbus, Ohio, where my mom was from, lived there for 10 years. My mom relocated after a remarriage, ended up 5 years in New York City. And kind of a messy transition for me as a young girl. Didn't have a daddy, so I had that father figure missing in my life, and it just made for a very messy transition for me into New York City.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know many people who voluntarily live in International Falls, Minnesota. I can understand if you grew up there, and if this is where your family, you know, all your roots were there, you stayed.
That's a long story.
Okay, so I'm sure we'll get to it. But I think it takes a very brave-hearted woman to...
I've actually been here, Kim, for over 40 years.
Wow, so you must love it.
It feels like home.
Awesome.
It's better after that many years.
Well, Kimberly, yeah, I mean, I do want to give you the chance to share your story because, as I said in introducing you, we have so many similarities, and as you hinted that you grew up without a father, and let's start there in terms of what that meant for you. Why? Just tell us a little bit more of the story of being without a dad.
I guess I am one of those girls who needed a daddy to dance for. I love that picture of little girls spinning and twirling in front of their daddies. Daddy, see me, daddy, see me. And it seems like I was just one of those girls who just craved that male affection. So for me, my father left the picture when I was just over 1. Probably even from way back then, I was craving that male input in my life. And so, I think that just kind of set the pace for my journey, and especially after the transition of moving to crazy New York City from a pretty but protected environment in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. It was just more than my little person could handle.
How old were you when the move happened?
I was 9, almost 10. Mm-hmm. And did some back and forth, and there was family turmoil because it was just not the thing to do at the time. My mom married a black jazz musician, and it really made for some interesting dynamics, not being accepted and different things like that. So I felt torn, you know. So there was turmoil, and that turmoil just kind of aided in the picture of needing to be affirmed and loved and cared about.
Kimberly Dawn Nyberg is our guest, and she is a broadcaster as well as a writer and a ministry leader, and she has a story that will help you and encourage you. I really believe if you have had a painful past that includes fatherlessness, really unrootedness, as well as just the shame of feeling different, and other life issues that even get more serious as Kimberly entered into her young adulthood. Stay with us, and if you'd want to join the conversation, we're live tonight, so please get on the phone and give us a call at 800-811-3003. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, Kim Katola, and our phones again are open at 800-811-3003.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you want to find out our program notes during the week and what's going to be the upcoming topic, you can visit us at cradlemyheart.org, or we are on Facebook at facebook.com/cradlemyheart. We tweet at Kim Katola. Lots of ways to stay connected, and we hope you will. And upcoming next week is a really interesting program for me. I'm really excited about this. Back when I was in news radio, I covered this story when it was still developing. In 1999, Texas became the first state to have what they call a Baby Moses Law. Other states call them safe haven laws, which allow mothers to drop babies at medical facilities with no questions asked. This was a result of an alarming increase in the numbers of newborn abandonments around the country. And so next week, we're going to talk with Texas State Representative Jeannie Morrison about Texas's Baby Moses Project, which pioneered the safe haven movement. And we were inspired by a film that has been getting a lot of attention over the last 6 months or so, that tells the story of the drop box and a gentleman in South Korea who also was inspired to save babies by giving mothers a place to leave them. It's a heartbreaking choice, and it's a difficult one. The constitutionality of these laws has been challenged. So we'll talk about Representative Morrison about that, but also about the fact that lives are being saved by these initiatives. So that's coming up next week. Hope you can join us. Tonight, our guest is Kimberly Dawn Nyberg. And Kimberly is a broadcaster and a writer and a women's leader. And it's an amazing thing because she had so many strikes against her as a young girl. Her father abandoned the family when Kimberly was just a year old, and then her mother had an interracial marriage, which was not accepted at the time. And Kimberly, you have said that one of the hallmarks of growing up for you was just feeling different, and that's really an experience of shame for most of us as kids.
Yeah, I always felt like an oddball, like I stuck out. Just even from the simple fact that everyone had a father, I didn't, that everyone had siblings, that I didn't, you know, not that there weren't only children, but the whole family structure that I saw, because I grew up in the 60s and things hadn't quite fallen apart like they did, you know, as we really delved into the 60s. So I still saw that Leave It to Beaver picture and wanted that so much, but I didn't have it.
So how did the downward spiral begin for you? You were pretty young when you began to rebel.
I was very young. Moved to New York City, and there was some back and forth to Ohio to see if it would be best for me to stay there, you know, just because of some things that my mom was getting settled in New York City, and then she became pregnant and in her new marriage and just needing some time alone for a little bit. So I was back and forth, and just that alone, that transientness was difficult, but my first year of school went fairly well. Now, I always like to say that I am so not a very I'm not a prejudiced person at all, but unbeknown to me, just because it was something that we did, is I grew up in a white school when I went to school in Columbus. So I was thrown culturally into a wide open arena of all kinds of cultures, which I found fascinating, but also kind of scary too. And I think just all this turmoil began to kind of eat at me. I began hanging around kids that weren't doing, you know, good things and positive things. And so my first year of elementary school was okay, but fourth grade. But then by the time I got into fifth grade, I just was hanging out with kids that weren't good, and it just kind of went downhill from there. A suicide attempt because I was not responding to discipline, and just not a good thing.
In fifth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade.
Wow. So, Kimberly, how in the world did your mother cope with that?
Not very well. Not very well. Poor mama. She had the stress of her interracial marriage, a new baby, a daughter who had really kind of started going off the deep end, and it was very difficult for her. I'm sure she probably felt like, you know, she was, you know, carrying some of that blame. I think she did the best she could, but it just wasn't filling the need that I had. And so I was sexually active by the time I was 12, 13 years of age. It was somewhere in there, very close. Using drugs at 12 and 13 and 14, and a runaway at 14, came back to see if it would work. It didn't. And then when I just turned 15, it was the summer of Woodstock. And I knew I had to get out of New York. I was with a group of people who were using a lot of drugs and had started dabbling with some heroin along with acid. And I just knew, intrinsically, I knew that if I didn't leave, that something bad was going to happen to me, because it was already happening.
Right. And so, Kimberly, I don't want to interrupt, but I want to ask you about, you know, having all of these adult behaviors at such a very young age and surviving yourself, if you will, you know, because there are parents listening tonight, I'm sure, who have children in this age range and teens who need a word from you about, you know, what is a mother to do? What is a dad to do when a child is spiraling this way?
Boy, it's tough. There's so many dysfunctional settings, but even in the so-called normal settings, there's still troubles in homes. And I guess I know love wins out. I really do. And kids who are difficult need that extra measure of love. And how you give it to them, I don't know. But I know I was desperately crying out for love. And I know that fathers play such a key role in families. You know, I'm a strong proponent of a good, strong father figure in a home. And even in spite of the fact that I've been divorced and had many, you know, relationships, I've come to know that the structure that God designed for homes to have a mom and a dad is so key. But we all both know that there are situations that crop up where that doesn't happen, and that's where love has to win out over the blank spots.
Mm. Kimberly Dawn Nyborg is our guest, and she's sharing her story today about a very difficult childhood and young adulthood. And so you took us to the point where you realized that even without any parental influence or intervention at that point, that you were needing to start a new path.
Mm.
And so this is, you're 15, you had run away to Greenwich Village?
I had done that at 14, but when I was 15, it was the summer of Woodstock, and a friend of mine and I, we just decided that we needed to get out of the city, so we went to Woodstock, and then it was just a crazy journey after that from Woodstock to communal living in New Mexico, and then to Minnesota. Usually when people ask me how I ever got up here, I just say it's just a crazy story.
it's
crazy. I put a lot of miles and a lot of wild years in a very short span of time, all looking for normalcy, and it makes no sense. You know, it makes no sense.
Mm. Well, that's a deep insight. And is that the cry of the heart of the teen and the young person who is just growing more and more bizarre, and parents are more and more confused and baffled? There's
possibly,
just, you know, crying out for something normal to somehow present itself in their lives.
And what is normal? Normal is not, you know, it's not what we, what it used to be. You know, everything's changing, and it's just, it's got to be tough. I just can't imagine being a young parent today. I watch my kids and their children, and I go, oh, how tough is this? You know, because the world is changing, and what was solid is no longer solid, and we know why that is. We know that's because God isn't always in the picture anymore.
Mm. So, Kimberly, you ended up in Minnesota, and by now you were into your adulthood.
I was 17.
Young adulthood. Okay, so not quite yet. You're
not
still
quite
in your teens. Okay, so what happened in Minnesota?
Well, first I'll back up. In New Mexico, I got involved with a fellow who got me pregnant and then didn't want anything to do with me. And so I fled. I put distance between us, and a girlfriend and I came up to Minnesota. I came up with my big belly and ended up being on a commune in northern Minnesota, where I had my oldest, my firstborn, 17 years of age, born baby born on the farm, so to speak. And then after that, we did some traveling around with the fellow that I connected with up there, and then ended up back out in California briefly, and then back to Minnesota, and then it kind of transitions again. Looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love, going from relationship to relationship. It wasn't satisfying, and I went looking again.
Mm. The communal experience, 60 seconds before we go to break, and there's a little bit of a resurgence on that. And I talked to young people who think that it's an attractive idea, at least in theory. How does it work out in practice?
I suppose there could be maybe Christian communal settings. I don't know, but without God, everything's a mess, and I wouldn't want to do it over. Was not a healthy place for me to raise a child, and I realized that.
Too many
transients, and just too unstable.
Okay. Kimberly Dawn Nyborg, I guess. We'll take a short break, and then we'll return. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Did you have a difficult childhood? Did you have a fatherless experience, which, of course, is no fault of the child, and yet the child bears the brunt of feeling different, feeling less than friends who have intact families? Join us. We'd love to hear your experience and your voice in the conversation. Phones are open tonight at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart. with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Tonight we are speaking with Kimberly Dawn Nyborg, who is a radio professional herself. She has a daily program on Psalm FM since 2004 in International Falls, Minnesota, and she is a writer, a columnist, as well as a blogger and a speaker. Tell me about Stonecroft Women's Ministries, Kimberly. I'm intrigued about your work with them.
Oh, well, most people would know that as Christian Women's Club. And it has been around for 70-plus years. I wonder if they aren't celebrating their 75th this year. Anyway, it's pretty exciting. It is a club that they encourage people in various locations around your area, smaller communities, larger communities. I think down in the Twin Cities there's probably like three different groups that meet. And they encourage monthly meetings. You have a guest speaker come, and there's always a little fun stuff too, a feature and lunch. And then the speakers, which I'm a speaker for Stonecroft, one of the many, trained in my message presentation and everything, we present the gospel. We share our story, and we present the gospel and give people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. And those meetings are held monthly, and so I'm blessed to be a part of that organization, and I've been doing that now for the last 2.5 years.
Awesome, and I really wanted to underline that, because here you are. It seems like really your life's work is ministry and is serving people by sharing the gospel through the word and the spoken word and the written word. And you know, if somebody is struggling right now, trapped in a difficult present, we talk a lot about a painful past, but if your present circumstances have left you feeling as though, you know, God just doesn't have a purpose for you and he couldn't possibly consider you worthy of ministry, etc., all the thoughts I used to think, I don't know if you did, Kimberly, but I want Kimberly's story to really be an encouragement to you tonight of where God has really brought her. So we were talking about the experience of being a parent in a commune, becoming a mom at 17. What happened next?
Well, I didn't remain in the relationship with the fellow I was with who helped birth my baby as I fled from New Mexico for various reasons, and I ended up quickly involving, and that was my pattern. I would run from relationship to relationship. So I got involved with another man, and at one point in time, a little bit down the road, I did get pregnant from him. It was a difficult thing because I just kind of deeply hoped that he would just say, I love you so much, I want to take care of you and this baby now that you've gotten pregnant and your son. I would, just want that, but he did not react that way, and it really threw me for a loop. Now, I was not a believer. I was pretty young and worldly wise, but not very wise in other ways, and had no idea really much about the Christian life at all. So I just thought, okay, so we're not having this baby. What do I do? Go to the doctor, make the arrangements, and we just can't do this. I'm not ready to get married, was what I heard, instead of I would love, like to be your husband, etc. So that's what I did. I made the appointment, and he took me down to the Twin Cities area. And I don't even remember the place, because I think I've blocked out some pain in my life, that being one of them. I do remember the room in which the abortion took place, and I do remember asking to see what they removed from me and hearing the lie, oh, you don't want to see it, it's just a mass of tissue. So that is very true, folks. When you hear people say that, they tell you that. They do. I will testify to that. And, painful.
Kimberly, I also want to say, and I want to allow you full reign to tell your story, but the fact that you can't remember where it was and you were just taken someplace out of town, I think also people need to understand this, the phraseology that it's a decision between a woman and her physician. This, it doesn't sound like this was your regular physician or anybody who knew anything about you medically or in any other way.
Well, I didn't do a lot of doctoring then anyway, but I went to a doctor, yes, and he confirmed I was pregnant. And so, yeah, he wasn't a family physician by any means.
Right.
So I had the abortion and back to International Falls area. And I think one of the hardest things for me to admit is that 3 months later, Kim, I got pregnant again. And I always, when I share my story, I can just hear people going, ugh, what was her problem? But you know, it was a problem. It was a big problem. I was a really messed up young lady. And so, yep, I did. But that time he said, okay, this is it. We're not going through this again. We're getting married, which as I thought back on it, it must have bothered him in some little way. I stuffed unforgiveness towards my father. I've stuffed, you know, how I dealt with the abortion. I just didn't think about it. I didn't go there. Mm-hmm. And I stayed married to this man for 6.5 years and had my daughter and my son from him. And then it was just kind of an abusive type of a situation emotionally. And it just wasn't a healthy relationship. And I ended up divorced.
Kimberly, as I listen to you tell your story, you know, there's a matter of fact tone. And I'm sure that when these events were unfolding, it was anything but.
Mm.
And I hear this as part of the victory of what God has done in your heart. Is that fair to say? That you're able to talk about this and just tell it as a story and let the facts unfold, you know, because some of the ideas, the mental images that I have of your experiences sound really frightening, if you know what I mean. Just like, wow, very much outside of some of my experiences, but like you went through a lot.
Yeah, I have come to that place, and that's a huge part of the story. But I think that it needs to be known that when one of the ways we deal with pain is to pretend it isn't there and to just move forward. And that doesn't make for very, it doesn't make for a very conducive mothering and different things, because I was so unstable. And so this crazy relationship I was in ends, and what do? I run again to another man to look for someone to take care of me. That was the bottom line. I just wanted somebody to take care of me. And this man was a good man, and he did take care of me. And we actually ended up getting married, and we've been married now 27 years. But
That's
in that
awesome.
Time, yeah, in that time, I didn't come to Christ. I had my abortion at 19 years of age, and I still wasn't happy, even though I had a man who was good and was taking care of me and my kids. We didn't have children together, but it just seemed like there was a hole in my heart. And I started going to church and started watching the 700 Club. And one afternoon or morning, I guess it was late morning, and the kids were in school, I received Christ praying with Pat Robertson on the 700 Club.
Wow.
And it did change my life. So I'm a real proponent of Christian media. I really am.
Broadcast media, yeah.
Yeah, you betcha.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah.
So what changed? What happened after that?
I guess you could say, you know, I'd tried reading the Bible before, because I had started going to a church. It wasn't what we call a Bible-believing church, believing in the Bible as the inerrant word of God. But it was a place of good, warm, fuzzy fellowship for me, and I loved it. But my husband wouldn't go there. Well, I shouldn't say, we had not quite got married yet. What I did is I decided to start taking the kids to the church where he grew up in. And I thought, well, maybe if I go to the church he grew up in, he'll start coming to church. Oh, manipulative woman here. He didn't right away. I'm sure he had his own skeletons to deal with and felt uncomfortable going back. And so one day we were getting ready for church, and I said, this is crazy. You know, here we are getting ready for church, and you stay home. And he got up, he got some church clothes on, I guess you'd call them, or dress clothes on, and came to church and did ever since. But in, also in the meantime, the pastor's wife had come out and said, you guys need to be married. This is not right. And so she confronted me on it, and I agreed, and we finally, that's what we finally did, is we got married in 86. But I just have to say that we've had interesting, it's been an interesting journey. My kids have had their interesting struggles with if the people who are listening know what second marriage is involved, it's very difficult, and it's a lot of stress. And I will tell you that once I got established in this church where my husband went to church, I wanted to help. I was so interested in young girls and helping them where I was so unstable. I wanted to, you know, teach Bible studies. And I did. I got involved in a lot of things that I just really wanted to pour myself out. And one of the things, if you've got the time for me to tell you this little tidbit, is we had a all-girls lock-in. A girlfriend and I, we had permission to have an all-girls lock-in in church. And I really hadn't thought much about my abortion. I really continued to keep it well hidden and stuffed, and I didn't talk a lot about it. And so what we had done is we had this lock-in, planned it, and we invited a group of pro-life teens, Teens for Life from Grand Rapids. And I had them come up, and they were going to do a little, you know, partake in our activities and whatnot. And one of the things we did is we showed the silent scream. And that is where God forced me to deal with my sin of abortion. And it was hard. Because how many years later, you know, 14
sure.
years later.
Sure. Let's take a short break, and then I want you to describe what that film is for those who have, aren't aware of it, and resume the story of how you got from being a fatherless runaway in rebellion and filled with a need for love and driven by shame to being a ministry leader, Christian radio broadcaster, writer, and so on. Kimberly Dawn Nyborg is our guest, and we'll take a short break. Phones are open. Would you like to encourage Kimberly for sharing her story? Join us. 800-811-3003 is our number, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for being with us tonight. You can go to cradlemyheart.org to learn about future programs or to pick up a podcast if you didn't get to hear one of our former guests, or if you tune in a little bit late tonight, we podcast for you there at cradlemyheart.org. Please go, and that's where you'll find links to all of our social media and my other website where I post on more general topics. I've been writing a lot about the subject of prayer here in this month of January, some of the things that we do that don't really help us in prayer, some of the things that are not as beneficial as others, and encouraging you to find a prayer partner. You can read about that at cradlemyheart.org and our other online outreach. Tonight, to wrap up this final segment, we're talking with Kimberly Dawn Nyborg, who's shared her story of an abortion at 19, which was merely the capstone of a really difficult childhood, beginning with suicidal depression, even in the fifth grade, and then acting out in every way imaginable, it sounds like, including, yes, running away to a large, you know, to Greenwich Village at the age of 14. I can't even imagine, Kimberly, some of the fear that you must have experienced. I'm serious. I mean, because at 14, I was afraid to do a lot of things that were just kind of normal teen things, much less, you know, claiming that much independence for yourself so prematurely. But now, if you're just joining us again, Kimberly came to faith in Christ, actually began serving in her church, was in a stable marriage. Her husband had taken on the task of helping her raise her children. But Kimberly, now you go to lead a retreat for the girls in the church and show the silent scream. And tell us what happened.
Well, I really didn't know what I was going to see. So I we had a room full of kind of drowsy girls. They were pretty tired when they when we did show it, but I told you that I do block things out and I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember the parts of the movie that showed the graphic pictures of the process of an abortion is when I lost it completely. And here I am sitting with these girls, and, you know, there was a good amount of girls in the room, and I remember really falling apart where I had to get up and leave. And that is where I really believe the Lord wanted me to say or to see that it's serious what I had done back then. All these years I had stuffed it away. And it was after seeing that silent scream and that process, that horrific process that I allowed to take place in my own body, where I had to face it. We can run from things. We can run from the bad choices and mistakes that we make, but I really believe there is going to come a time when we need to face it and we need to call it what it is. It is sin. And in my case, I had allowed my baby to be killed unwarranted. It didn't need to happen. So I was responsible for that. And I would say that it probably... Oh, I think that I would say that I had received God's forgiveness. I knew I had been forgiven, but my biggest struggle was forgiving myself. And I've been talking a lot about that lately, just as I've asked people to pray for our time together tonight and whatnot. And I really think that it took me another, well, from 34 to 45 or so, when I finally got tired of struggling. We had difficulties with my youngest son, and I had to contend with, why am I not happy? Why am I living this Christian life and nothing is improving? I feel more miserable than I ever did. And it was at that time, and I love to use the verse from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. I was miserable. I didn't know why. I thought I was doing everything right. And he brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay, which he had done for sure. And then this transition, putting my feet upon a rock and making my footsteps firm, I really believe is what he began to do in me when I cried out to him. And he began to show me that because of the shed blood of Jesus and what Christ did on the cross for me, that was enough to even cover that abortion. And so that's when, that was the time frame in my life. I had just come through perimenopause and was just miserable. And that's when God really began to minister healing and show me and begin to show me my identity in Christ Jesus. And that's when I felt like I had been released and set free. So it was quite a lengthy transition, for whatever reason, but it finally came. Easy? No. No, I've done a lot of really crazy things in my life that I'm not proud of. But I now can stand up and say, taking every thought captive when the enemy comes along and tries to tell me and drag me back to the past, that no, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to Kimberly, who is in Christ Jesus. I won't go there anymore and I won't entertain it.
Good for you. I mean, that is the victory that
Amen.
We have a choice as to how we regard the past. We have a choice as to whether we would choose to see it through a lens of judgment and condemnation or through a lens of grace and mercy and forgiveness and healing. You know, Kimberly, if I didn't see the silent scream until my healing journey had already begun. And it's a shattering experience to see an abortion procedure as depicted in that film. And, you know, to say just a couple of more words about it, Dr. Bernard Nathanson was one of the men who went to the Supreme Court in the hearings because he was representing NARAL as an abortion provider. And he later became a Roman Catholic and admitted that the basis for most of his testimony was just fabrication. He made up numbers about how many women had actually perished from illegal abortion. And he made it his mission to begin exposing abortion for what it is. And the movie is quite clinical. I mean, it's bad production values from back in the day, from what we're used to seeing these days. But the facts speak so loudly for themselves that I just would say, you know, it's a tough thing to watch. You can find it on YouTube. But I would say, you know, just be prepared. As you said, Kimberly, you really weren't. And it can be almost a traumatic thing to watch it.
And it was. Yeah, it was.
You know, and God worked through that. And, you know, and my healing journey was over 20 years, as, you know, yours was not quite as long as mine. But I want everybody listening to hear that it is possible. First of all, you have our testimony here, Kimberly and mine. But also God's word and the promises of Jesus, that he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, and that anyone who comes to him, he will not cast out, it says in John 6:37. It doesn't matter if your story's worse than mine, worse than Kimberly's, worse than some of the other stories that we've heard. I've talked to hundreds of women and men about abortion through the years. And some stories are worse than others. There's no question about it. But God's love is able. And I love how you claim the scripture for yourself and made it your own. Kimberly, with just about 2 minutes remaining, I want to give you the opportunity just to offer up a prayer for those who are hurting tonight, for those who are not ready even to face the truth. And perhaps they're, as you said, you know, they're pushing it away. They're not ready to quite open the door. That you would just pray that God would be with them as they face it.
I would love to. Oh, dear friend, I thank you that God is knocking on your door and he is desperately saying, open up and let me be the healer in your heart and let me bind those wounds that are plaguing you. And what I even posted on Facebook was, it's like wearing a ball and chain around your neck when we hold our sorrows in ourselves and don't hand them over to the Lord. So, Father, I just say for that one that may be out there tonight, that you would just take and just gently lift that chain and ball off of her from around her neck and set her free. And I know you can do it, Lord. And I just say, let the peace that passes all understanding fall on that one tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Kimberly, and thank you so much for being transparent, for being real with us, telling us the story of difficult days that are in the past because you are a new creation in Christ. And
amen.
I love how he's using you, and I know that it's an encouragement to others that the past doesn't define us. The future is where we find our faith.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us, Kimberly. Kimberly Dawn Nyborg is a broadcaster and a writer, and if you're in International Falls, Minnesota, you can hear her daily broadcast on Psalm FM, and she's been doing that since 2004. You can learn more about Kimberly's ministry at cradlemyheart.org, where you'll find links and also the podcast if you missed the beginning of our interview. And I hope you'll go there and just connect with us. We'd love to hear from you in the comments. Send us an email, always confidential, or call us even after hours. We will return your contact within 24 hours, and the number's on cradlemyheart.org as well. Thanks for joining us. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.